We are in Heavenly Places, page 79. If you actually have the booklet, we're on page 79. We're in March 13th for today, and the title is our personal intercessor. It starts off with Romans chapter 8, verse 34. It says, "Who is he that commandeth?" Or condemneth, rather. "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The Lord Jesus is your personal intercessor, she says. Repeat over and over, many times through the day, "Jesus has died for me. He saw me in peril, exposed to destruction, and poured out his life to save me. He does not behold the soul as a trembling suppliant, prostrate at his feet without pity, and he will not fail to raise me up." There's something to remember. If she wants to repeat that every day, you have to memorize that. But anyway, she goes on to say, "He has become the advocate for man. He has lifted up those who believe in him and placed a treasure house of blessing at their demand." You know, that's what gets me, too, about especially people that met him. And it's another thing that gets me about Baptist theology. Where is this? Because there's 30 on my Q&A page when I do this street thing, when the Lord asked me to do this ministerial work back in the 80s. I think it's chapter 6. And, it is. Okay. Check it out. It says, chapter 6, verses 4. I'm just going to read verses 4 and 8. Because they say, once saved, always saved, or once under grace, always under grace. And it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And it goes on from there, which means they really did have the Holy Ghost, because a lot of the Baptists say you're always saved once you get saved, or you're never going to lose the grace once you get it. And then they say, what if a guy goes and finds Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and goes out and kills people? So he really never, it's impossible to, once you have the Holy Spirit, you can never lose it. Well, then explain this verse. Because when you go down and you read down and talks about all the wonderful things about, tasting the good word of God, the power of the word of the calm, and it goes on to verse 8, and it says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." So it does say you can lose your salvation. So that's what gets me about people that have met him, have had the fruits, have tasted of the heavenly gift, have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that, and I've met a lot of these. Oh man, it just reminds me too of a young man that I knew years ago that I met on the street. He became a strong Christian, for a while, and all of a sudden, and he was getting all these miracles and all these blessings. I mean, and people coming out of nowhere helping this guy out. I mean, it was just, he was homeless too for a while. And it was just, the Lord was just showing him hand over foot that he loved him, and he was just giving him everything that he needed to get by day by day. And then all of a sudden he goes back to his old ways. So where is the sense in that? I mean, how can you give all that up? How can you, to have a relationship? I mean, he loves you so much. He made himself known. A lot of people says, I didn't see him. I didn't talk to him. It says, what do you need him to do? I mean, it's so sad. I mean, like when we pray, we don't say, "Father God, we would like for you to answer this prayer in this way or that way." It's not so that we know you exist, because we do. It's because we want to know your will on this or that issue, if you will. And, but a lot of people will ask him to show himself. And I'm not saying in the way that Moses did when the Lord showed him the back parts. That's totally different. Moses was a believer. The Lord knows everybody's hearts, including Moses. And so, but she goes on. "Man cannot bestow one blessing upon their fellows. They cannot remove one stain of sin. It is only the merit and the righteousness of Christ that will avail anything. But this is placed to our account in rich fullness. We may draw upon God every moment. As we turn to him, he answers, 'Here I am.'" And again, how can anybody ignore the treasure house of blessings? And yeah, you're going to get your dry periods and your dry spells, and you're going to get your trials. And that's why I put that video up or try to, yesterday. And finally, like I'll get into that later in the praises, because I've noticed a lot of my brothers and sisters here in the church have been going through some heavy trials and passing the trials. And it's an amazing thing to watch, you know. And so anyway, she goes on to say, Christ proclaims himself our intercessor. He would have us know that he has graciously engaged to be our substitute. He places his merit in the golden censer to offer up with the prayers of his saints, so that the prayers of his dear children might be mingled with the fragrant merit of Christ as they ascend to the Father in a cloud of incense. Ah, such a beautiful study to, you know, the sanctuary. I mean, it's just one gigantic blessing of truth as well as prophetic, you know, facts, if you will, because everything Jesus Christ did and it continues to do, or mentioned in that sanctuary, and that's one of the reasons you do it. It's not being preached anywhere. You know, that's the sad part of it all. And all those, and that's the reason you have all the Sunday keeping churches and the fallen ninth hour church. They just stopped doing what would have prevented them from falling. They have ignored the treasure house. So the Father, she says, hears every prayer of his contrite children. Okay, because there is scripture to back up the fact that if your hands are full of blood and there's all different ways of getting their blood on your hands, you could just think hateful thoughts and you're guilty of murder. But it says in the scriptures that your prayers actually become an abomination. He won't even hear them. It's contrite children. It's like David, a contrite heart, a man after God's own heart. The Lord knows your heart. He knows you're really, really sorry for what you did, or really, really you love him. He knows your heart. It's contrite. And so he hears every prayer, big ones, little ones, all of them. She says, the voice of supplication from the earth unites with the voice of our intercessor, who pleads in heaven, whose voice the Father always hears. Let our prayers, therefore, continually ascend to God. Let them not come up in the name of any human being, but in the name of him who is our substitute and surety. Christ has given us his name to use. Now, if you're into Catholicism, well, then it's Mary's name, or Saint Stanislaus, or Saint Christopher, or whatever, Saint Anthony. I mean, they got a different saint for every day of the week, because the pagans have a different god for every day of the week. They just give them pagan names, and they even admit in writing that's what they did. It's on my Words of the Beast page. So she goes on, finishing it up. She says, Jesus receives and welcomes you as his own friend. He loves you. He has pledged himself to open before you all the treasures of his grace for your appropriation. He says, at that day ye shall walk, or rather you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray, the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. It's John 16, verses 26 and 27. And he virtually says, make use of my name, and it will be your passport to the heart of my Father and to all the riches of his grace. But here's the thing. A lot of people do this, and they really don't realize they're taking his name in vain when they do this. It's the old saying that you always hear. They finish a prayer by saying, in Jesus' name we pray. But while doing so, alcohol's on their breath, or tobacco's on their breath, or sin's in their heart, or a desire to sin is in their heart or in their mind, or the way they dress, or the way they act, or the things they eat, or whatever. The things that they do in their life, knowing their sin, they're in sin, right? These are workers of iniquity. I'm not talking about people, like even ourselves. There's a lot of things that we do that are sinful, but we don't know. And the Lord's going to wink at our times of ignorance. He says so twice in the scripture. And so, if you don't know it's wrong to do and you're doing it, you're not going to be held accountable until he reveals it to you. And he will. Stay in his word. He'll eventually open it up to you in that area too. But there's people out there that know it's wrong to do this. And it's, no, I know I used to be that way. I knew it was wrong to do this. I knew it was wrong to do that. And I did it anyway. And there's Christians that are like that now today. Especially Christian leaders. And they know these things are wrong to do and they're going to do them anyway. And then they finish their prayers in Jesus' name. again, their hands are full of blood. He ain't going to hear those prayers. They're mocking him for one thing, and they literally take his name in vain because Jesus isn't like them, and they're not like him. So you can't finish the prayer in Jesus' name. So hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.